This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. From county courthouses to country stores, ghost towns to lost bridges, the Anderson Ferry to the Great Miami Railroad Bridge, Satoli Glassmeyer and his team are preserving the memories of the tri-state through their video project, History in Your Own Backyard. Their goal is to build a database of documentary videos about historic sites before they disappear. And Satoli joins us to discuss the project, along with Daniel Jones, the primary interviewer for the documentary videos. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Daniel and Satoli, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
So, Satoli, tell us how the project came about in the first place.
Oh, this goes back years and years ago. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I used to ride my bicycle a lot. I grew up over in Price Hill, and I would go on these bicycle rides. I'd take the ferry across the river into northern Kentucky. I'd ride out to Versailles, Indiana. I'd go up to Oxford, Indiana. I'd go on 100-mile bicycle rides. And I'd go through all these little towns. I'd see these neat buildings. I thought, wow, these are really neat. But at the time, I had no interest in history. I had no interest in Magna Carta. No, none at all. You know, I didn't care about the Magna Carta or the War of 1812. It was like it was all over my head. And as I got older, I noticed that all these buildings were starting to disappear all over. So through a series of transitions over the years, I finally got into doing these videos on the historic buildings. And the whole idea behind the project is to educate people about the historic buildings that they have in their own neighborhoods, and also to educate the younger generation about these buildings. Because 50 years from now, when we're all dead and gone, they'll be the ones that preserve and maintain these buildings. So that's the whole idea behind the project.
Daniel, how did you get involved in this?
Well, there was an email that was sent to me via listserv where Satoli was saying that he was starting his project and he was looking for young adults to be involved. And he was looking for people between the ages of 18 and 30. And I was 31. And so I emailed him back and I said, hey,
am I too old now?
Am I too old? And he said, well, no, I think you'll be fine. So we went out the first time. I fell in love with the project. I apparently did a great job because he still has me around. And that was where the magic happened. And so we've gone all over the place, and I've really enjoyed being involved in the project.
So, Satoli, are people surprised? I love the title of this, History in Your Own Backyard. Are people oftentimes surprised at what historic things are actually just right around the corner from where they
live? Absolutely they are. It's amazing because people, they have no idea. They'll see these videos that will post and they'll say, I've lived here my whole life in this neighborhood and I didn't even know that was here. And it's really amazing some of the things that we come up with. You know, we've been all around the tri-state within 15 counties of Cincinnati. And people are always amazed at what we can come up with. We estimate that there's over 3,000 historic bridges, buildings, and tunnels all throughout the tri-state area that are suitable for this project.
So what have we lost so far? You're trying to get the history and the story of these places before they disappear. Tell me about some of the significant places that we've lost.
One of the biggest places in the past 2 years was the Gamble House over in Westwood. I'm sure we've all heard about the story behind that. But there's other smaller buildings, savings and loan buildings around the area that have, you know, been demolished over the years. But probably the Gamble House. That was the most significant loss that we've had.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, did you want to add to that?
Not so much to what we've lost, because this is opening up a whole new world for me. So I am one of those people who did not realize that we had so much rich history right here in our backyard.
So you feel like you're gaining something.
I feel like, hey, this is this is classroom being brought to you live. So I love it. But some of the really cool places that I've had a chance to experience are places like Harrison's Tomb. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea that one of our great American presidents was actually buried right here in our own backyard. And so being able to go and experience that, or being able to go and experience some of the one room schoolhouses or some of these small mom and pop shops that were running and thriving maybe 100 years ago has been really, really interesting to me. And that's been the part that I've liked so much about this. I was always an A student in history, flunked in math, but history I did great. And now I know why. It's because I really enjoy learning about where we come from. And I truly believe that in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've come from.
Satolia, now you had a hero who drove home this point that we're all talking about preserving the history of these historic sites. Tell us about him and what he had to say.
You mean on Charles Kuralt? Is that who you're talking
Charles
about?
Is Charles Kuralt? Okay.
Yeah, that was my hero. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, they had On the Road with Charles Kuralt on TV. And I always thought, you know, here's this guy in his RV driving around on the back roads. He pulls into these little towns, you know, and he just stops and starts talking to people. And that's all you have to do is ask people some questions. And people are more than happy to tell you about what's out there and what they have in their communities. For example, one of the places that I thought was really neat that we did in the past year was over in Harrison, Ohio. Going back to the 1830s, there was the Whitewater Canal that ran from Hagerstown, Indiana, down to Lawrenceburg, and then had a spur that went off to Cincinnati down to 3rd and Plum Street. Well, when it came through Harrison, Ohio, they actually built a tunnel under the roads in Harrison up Market Street, and then this tunnel branched off into the basements of all the businesses along Market Street. Well, about 15 or 20 years ago, the powers that be in Harrison, they decided it was a liability and they shut this tunnel down because of all the potential problems with it. But I heard there was still a couple of tunnels left in Harrison. So I contacted one of the business owners of the business was the Market Street Grill. They said they still had a tunnel and they said there's not much there, but if you want to come out and do a video, we'd be more than happy to have you. So we come out and Mark, I was thinking there was going to be this little tunnel about 6 feet tall, 2 or 3 feet wide, just big enough for a man to walk through, you know. We get down there and this tunnel is a good 50 or 60 feet long. It's 20 feet wide, 15 feet high, and it's all made out of stone that was taken out of the local quarry. It's huge. You could have put a box truck in this thing, you know? And we went down, we did the video on the tunnel, and shortly after that, we started getting all these emails and phone calls from people around the community that said, hey, we've got a tunnel. We found out there's 5 tunnels over in Lawrenceburg. There's a tunnel out in Batesville. There's a tunnel up in Mount Healthy. All these people are calling us to tell us about their tunnels now. So that's how everything gets started. You know, people see something, they go, well, we've got that in our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems like tunnels play a prominent part in Cincinnati's history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, with the brewery tunnels, if you've mm-hmm. ever gone down in the brewery tunnels, they're amazing.
Or even like the old subway tours mm-hmm. That take place downtown right around the corner from here, actually. So back in 2012, I went through the Chamber of Commerce's Sea Change program. And that was one of the cool things for me, being able to go down and find out that Cincinnati at one point, well, we were building a subway and then it kind of stopped. But I won't say any more about that. But to be able to find out some of the cool places like that, kind of like Satoli was talking about how he was inspired to go about and to learn more about history. I can't be on here without talking about the significance that my grandparents and my great-grandparents have played in my life. So I was well into my 20s. I still have both of my grandmothers alive, and I'm so grateful for them. But in addition to that, I also grew up knowing all of my great-grandparents as well. And so being able to hear the stories of these amazing people, maybe they may have not graduated from high school or they may have not gone to college, but just such wisdom and their knowledge and all of the amazing information that they were able to share with me about where they'd come from. That's what sparked a love for history in my mind. So being able to talk with people who lived in the early 1900s, even the grandchildren of slaves and having them pass their information along to me has been truly invaluable in my life. And so that's kind of what sparked my love for history.
Danielle, we're talking about reaching the 18 to 30 year old age group mm-hmm. with these stories. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing back from people in that age group saying, wow, this really hit home? This really meant something to me?
I'm hearing back from people of all different ages who are just really, really interested in finding out more about what we have going on here. So for that 18 to 30 year old age group, yes, but more of them have been a little bit older, and that's okay too. As long as we're finding a way to preserve what we have here, I think that's what's important. So even for someone like me, it may not be something that I'm aware of right now, but if my parents are aware of it and they can pass that information down to me, or if my grandparents are aware of it and they can pass that information down to me, then that's still going to be important and it's still going to be valuable.
So Tully, how do you go about picking these places?
Typically we'll find an area where we want to work, and whether it's Western Hills or Lower Price Hill or Northside or whatever, and then we'll contact the local historical society and ask them if they would be interested in working with us on this project. 99.9% of the time, they're on board immediately. Mm-hmm. They love the idea. Then after that, then we go to the local town council and say, hey, we'd like to do this. Would you guys like to work with this? And 9 times out of 10, they jump on board too. And then I've got tons of information on historic sites all throughout the tri-state area, both in books and magazines and such. And we'll just go down into these neighborhoods and start driving around up and down every street and pick out buildings that we think are suitable. And we'll knock on the door and say, you know, tell the people what we're doing. Say, could you tell us a little bit of information about this building? And they just pour it out. We've had people that say, come on in. They'll take us all through their house, up into their bedrooms, their basement. It's amazing. I've been on roofs of houses before.
So the research is pretty easy. Sounds like you're just getting this.
It is. It's a piece of cake.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And you were talking, Satoli, about how people called you, you know, hey, I've got a tunnel here, a tunnel there. Does that happen quite often where you get calls from people saying there's this really neat place? You should come out and,
And now we're getting calls from all over. I've gotten calls and emails from people out in New Jersey, Washington State, other parts of the United States saying, we've got this. When would you guys like to come out and do this? So yeah, we were just up in, I guess it was Eastern Ohio a few weeks ago. There's a historical society up that way. They're interested in us doing some videos on their town as well. So yeah, we're going all over.
Danielle, you were talking about Harrison's tomb earlier as being one of the most interesting, astounding places you'd seen. What are some of the other unusual, at least on your list, unusual places that you've documented?
Well, talking about one of the tombs that we had gone into, so I believe it was over in Indiana, and I remember we interviewed a family at their family business, and then they said, well, we'll take you up to our house. So Satoli is absolutely right. People will take us to their houses, through their houses and attics and roofs and all kinds of stuff. But they said, well, we want to show you something really cool. So we get to these people's houses, and they were all siblings, and they were renovating one of the houses, and they opened up a door in their backyard, and they took us down these steps, and there was a tunnel beneath their house. And so I thought that was really interesting. It was cold, it was wet, but I thought that was really cool. Some of the other things that we've done, learning about the, and Satoli may have to help me here, but learning about the, I think like the river abutments. I remember
bridge
always
abutments.
The bridge abutments.
So there's history in bridge abutments.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And so Satoli has me out here becoming a venture girl, and I am digging deep into my Girl Scout roots, and we're going down these bridges and rocks, and I'm sitting on the edge of riverbanks and trying not to fall in. And Satoli's like, okay, well, just tell everybody your name and we can sign off on the video. And I'm looking back at Satoli saying, Satoli, you brought me down here and I've risked my life. We better do more than me just signing off on a video. So I think that's been some of the fun things. We went out to Miami Township, and we got a chance to talk with some of the people. They have a putt-putt golf course, and they have, I think it was maybe back in the day, like an old amusement park, and they rent canoes off of it. So some of those things have been really interesting for me to find out about. I'm all about fun, if you can't tell, and laughing and having a great time. So anytime when I'm able to do that and incorporate that into what we're doing has been interesting. One of the other places that we went to, there was a beautiful home that actually sits high where you can look down over the entire city.
On Cliff Road.
Yeah, on Cliff Road. Yeah, one of the Cliff Road homes. And so being able to learn how that used to be a restaurant and there was a fire there, or learning about the Great Flood of 1937 and being down in Addison and seeing how they have taken what used to be an old firehouse and it's now a church, or as I mentioned before, seeing some of the one-room schoolhouses, all of that has been really interesting to me.
So Tolly, what's on your most interesting, most unusual list?
Well, what she was talking about the bridge abutments, I know most people don't even think about bridge abutments.
Yeah, that was my reaction too. It's like, bridge abutments, really?
Oh, yeah, me three.
This is really cool. Like I was talking before about the Whitewater Canal that came through. Well, when it came through, they actually had to build an aqueduct over the Great Miami River down by Cleves, Ohio. The bridge abutment from the aqueduct is still down there. And that bridge abutment actually holds the railroad trestle that brings freight three or four times a day over that. The freight trains run out to Greensburg, Indiana to pick up the Honda cars and back to Cincinnati. So that bridge abutment was built in the 1830s out of cut stone by Irish immigrants, you know, with nothing more than picks and shovels and a few pulleys. And we're using that bridge abutment every day to haul freight over. And it's really neat because in the bridge abutment, you can see where the bird truss arches were embedded into the stone bridge abutment. And they're like 4 feet square. They're massive. It's a pretty amazing piece of work down there.
Now, what are some of the future sites you're planning to film?
Actually, this weekend, we're going out to Green Hills. We're going to be doing some videos out there. There's an old one-room schoolhouse back in the woods near Winton Woods that we'll be doing. We're also doing Morrow, Ohio, and Sailor Park. We'll be doing all those within the next 5 or 6 weeks.
How long is it going to take to complete this entire project, and how will you know when you're actually finished?
It'll never end. It'll never end. Right now, we're just concentrated on 15 counties in the tri-state. January 1st, we're going to expand throughout all of Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. And then in 2018, we'll go national with this.
Let's talk with Lois in New Richmond. Good afternoon, Lois.
Good afternoon. I am so excited about this program. It's really great to hear this. I'm involved, listening to you talk about Harrison and Whitewater, I'm involved in a project to help restore the North Family site of Whitewater Shaker Village, which is up in Crosby Township,
right,
Ohio, near Harrison. And so many people do not know about that village, that we actually had Shaker communities in this area. And it's just a very fascinating piece of our history that I just think people need to know about.
Okay, Lois.
Oh, I agree 100%. As a matter of fact, just last week, I sent a letter to the Crosby Township Council out there about doing videos. So hopefully I can get a meeting with those people next week. And if everything works out, maybe we can shoot some videos on the Shaker houses. I'm very familiar with what you're talking about, though.
Let's talk with Priscilla in Deer Park. Hi, Priscilla. Priscilla, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
I was wondering, I'm a Quaker, and there's a number of the older Quakers and older communities that are around here, like particularly up near Waynesville and some in Loveland, that have Underground Railroad actual places where they hid the slaves. Mm-hmm. They have that they were helping escape. Plus New Richmond's got a pretty rich history of that. And then the other thing I was wondering is if you've looked at any of the old geology, because Taze River system, the Great Miami River Valley, and then the Scioto River Valley was part of the Taze River system. If you look on Google Earth, you can see all that. You have to.
Thanks, Priscilla.
You have to look way out.
So a couple of other things that I've come to find out that were really, really interesting that we have done. One, when we were over in Indiana, I remember meeting some people whose grandparents and great grandparents actually played a part in the Underground Railroad. And so I thought that was really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then also when we went and we learned about Fort Finney and how the Indians were there and how they met the Europeans and how they were fighting for that land. Mm-hmm. I thought those things were really, really interesting. But thank you so much, Priscilla, for letting us know about that area, because I know we'd be interested in doing stuff about that.
Yeah. And I wasn't familiar with the geology, which you were talking about. I'm familiar with looking at the Google Maps and seeing that, but I didn't really have the background behind it.
So Tully, is there a website where people can go and see the videos that have been done
absolutely.
So far?
Oh, absolutely. It's called historyinyourownbackyard.com.
Okay. And it's .com. All right.
And it's broken down by state, then by county, then by city. So it's really neat. If you want to look up, let's say something in Cleves, you just go Ohio, Hamilton County, Cleves, and all the videos for Cleves will pop up.
And we're also on Facebook too.
Okay. And you can find a link to the website at WVXU.org. And Danielle and Satoli, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Mark.
Satoli Glassmeyer, president of History in Your Own Backyard, and Danielle Jones, the primary interviewer for the documentary videos.